The Old Testament reading for this, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the word of the Lord. He will command his angels concerning you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The epistle reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the 4th chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' And this is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The feast is set. The celebration is ready to begin, and it couldn't be any better. It's going to be an epic get-together with the best food you've ever dreamed of, a buffet that never ends, and a host who provides absolutely everything. This is not one of those weddings where you get the invitation and roll your eyes and think, "Oh man, this one's going to cost me." This is a celebration where you have nothing to do but celebrate. No tuxedo to rent, no gift to buy, even your travel expenses are paid in full. Let's get this party started. But there's one problem. Nobody is here. Not like, oh no, only the B-list celebrities showed up, but literally nobody is here. Despite the fact that absolutely everything is provided and paid for, despite the fact that it is a free celebration, nobody shows up. Well, why is that? One guest, when he's invited, says he has farm work to do. Hey, sorry, but those beans aren't going to grow themselves out there. Another says he can't make it because of his business. Ooh, busy, busy week at the office. Maybe I'll catch you at the next wedding feast. Others ignore the invitation altogether, don't even bother to give an excuse. Still others not only won't come to the feast, but they beat up and even kill the people who come and tell them about it. That's the response that the master gets in Jesus' parable when he throws this gracious feast. Nobody comes, nobody wants to be there, but so many excuses are given. Now think about it. Who would do such a thing? Who would turn down the opportunity to attend such a lavish feast for free? Who would give such lame excuses in order to not receive such a generous gift? Who would do something like that? Who? Everybody here, please raise your hand. Because each and every week, God in His holy house throws a lavish, free, phenomenal feast. And instead of rejoicing and celebrating that we get to come, instead of telling our neighbors, come to the feast, it is here, it is free, we instead give so many excuses. We have so many excuses as to why we won't attend God's feast. And as we speak them, they all make perfect sense. They all sound so good when they come out of our mouths. Well, I went to church last week, so I'm good for a couple more weeks. It won't matter if I miss one. It's always the same thing over and over and over. I've heard it all before. I know what pastor is going to say. Why should I bother coming again? And besides, you only want me there for my money. I won't go there because blank goes there, and they're just a hypocrite. Sunday, well, that's the only time that I have for my family, and that's important, so I can't make it. Well, pastor, things are so busy right now. I'll start coming once things settle down. Have you heard any of these? Have you fought any of these or used any of these? I know I have. What every excuse boils down to is our sinful nature. We don't want to admit that we need help. We think that we can do better than God's word and the gifts that He gives to us here in His holy house. We think that the world has much better things to offer because those are things that we can touch and feel and smell and taste and consume and purchase, whereas here we get talked to. We don't want to take time away from ourselves in order to acknowledge that we are by nature sinful and unclean. And trust me, it's every one of us. I couldn't tell you how many Sundays, how many Bible studies, how many opportunities to hear and to share God's word I myself have used these same lame excuses or have been deeply tempted to do so. That's our human nature. We don't want what God has to offer because we think the world is better, because we think we don't need it. The devil whispers in our ears, gives us all these excuses, and we buy into them and repeat them. We let Satan convince us that we really do need that time for ourselves far more, that the money that we put into the plate really could be used better on fast food. That God's word really isn't all that important, really isn't doing anything for you, and really isn't worth your time and effort and energy. The devil whispers, and we sinners listen. convince ourselves and others around us as to why we are totally justified in ignoring God's gracious call, turning our backs on His word, ignoring His cry to come to the free feast, and pushing His word out of our lives. And that's foolishness, because we receive such great and powerful blessings when we gather together in God's word. Ask yourself this. What if God used our excuses toward us? And you know He could. Oh, I blessed her last week. She's probably good for a few weeks. Do I really have to come again this week? It's so boring. They just say the same things over and over, and I don't get anything out of it. All they want is money. Well, I'm not going down there, because they're all just a bunch of hypocrites. I like to spend Sundays with my son, just me and him. It's our only special time together. Well, I'm pretty busy taking care of the entire universe right now. I'll start blessing you guys once things settle down, okay? Imagine if God used our excuses on us. Imagine what your life would be like. It would be miserable. Because for as much as we complain about the economy being bad, as much as we grieve after what our friends and neighbors have, we have it so good. We have so many gifts and luxuries. We have more things than most kings did not that many years ago. We have so much food, so many refrigerators to keep it in. We have ample housing. We have more clothes than we could possibly wear. And all of this is a gift from the hand of our gracious, loving Father. Everything that we have, whether we acknowledge God's word or not, comes from Him and Him alone. He pours out His bountiful blessings upon this undeserving world, on the good and the evil alike. He gives us order and structure and stability in this world rather than the chaos and torment of sin. And He does this for all. He does not throw the excuses back in our teeth that we throw to Him, but rather He continues to bless us. He pours out blessing after blessing after blessing into our ungrateful and undeserving lives. He sustains this body and life not just with the bare minimum, but with luxuries that we can't even comprehend and don't even appreciate. Even when we reject God's word, when we take it lightly, when we mock it, He continues to give it to us, continues to call us, continues to bless us through that word. You know, we might act like going to church is some kind of a dreadful chore that we have to put up with. But here we receive the words of eternal life. Here, the Creator of the universe comes to us not in judgment as we deserve, but in grace and mercy and peace to forgive us of all of our sins. Here we come into the presence of God Himself, acknowledging that we are undeserving sinners, deserving only His wrath and eternal punishment, and instead we receive forgiveness and life. And we receive it here and nowhere else, because this is where God said He comes to us. God speaks to us by His word. He brings us together as a congregation. Here we receive His precious means of grace, His word and sacraments that unite us together as the body of Christ on earth, but more importantly, unite us together with Him in His death and His resurrection. Here, we take part in that blessed fellowship of believers, supporting one another, rejoicing with one another, practicing the things that we have seen and heard in our lives with one another for our mutual benefit and growth. And as a gift that we absolutely don't deserve, at this feast, while we feast upon the finest of foods, the richest of marrow, and the bounteous blessings of God, He has swallowed up death forever. The blessings that we receive now, they are fantastic, and we give thanks to God for them each and every day. But the fact is, these are but a meager foretaste of the true feast to come. The feast that He has won for us in His cross and His empty tomb. Without that, all the blessings in the world, all the riches and wealth, they would mean nothing because we would still stand condemned in the eyes of the holy and righteous Creator of all things. But there on the cross, there on that mountain, God swallowed up death forever. He took away the reproach of His people, the veil that covers all nations. By His sacrifice on our behalf, He forgave our sins. By His glorious resurrection on Easter morning, He gave us not just a glimmer of hope in a darkened world, but He gave us the everlasting guarantee of life with Him forever in paradise. Jesus defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated the devil. He crushed the serpent's head and gave to you the victory, the unending feast of heaven. By faith, we are united with Him in that victory, and death is no longer our eternal foe. By grace through faith, we know that we will never face the horrors of hell that we deserve because He has taken away our guilt. And without any merit or worthiness in us, He has clothed us in His robe of righteousness. He has made us honored guests at His eternal feasts. Not just mere servants waiting upon Him and hoping for a crumb, although even that is far more than we deserve. But He has set us at His head table, has given us the highest of honors. Here on earth, we do receive bountiful blessings beyond measure. But in heaven, all those blessings will be even better. They will be perfectly perfect without any taint of sin or greed or envy. They will be never-ending and eternal. As we stand in God's presence for all eternity, singing out His glory, serving Him with joy day and night, proclaiming the good news that has saved us from the gates of hell. Think of all the excuses that you use to not hear God's word, to not receive His blessings, to not come into His holy presence. Say them out loud sometime and hear how foolish they truly are. Ask yourself how something that flimsy can keep you away from something as precious and glorious as the Word of God. Ask yourself how your life would be if God used those same excuses toward you. And then rejoice that He doesn't. Rejoice that He doesn't use those excuses, even though He has every right to do so. Despite the fact that we have nothing to offer God, nothing at all to give Him in return, even though we treat Him so shamefully, that we ignore His precious invitation so often, our loving Heavenly Father continues to bless us in so many ways. He gives us reason to rejoice always. He fills our lives to overflowing with earthly riches and luxuries, and He promises to do so forever, inviting us to His eternal banquet in heaven. Why would we want to surround ourselves in excuses when He gives us such riches? For God, our loving Heavenly Father, has set before us the never-ending feast of paradise at no cost. He has paid the price. He has provided us with His own robe of righteousness. He has given you everything. He has made you His honored guest, has set before you a never-ending banquet of riches and joy. And by His cross alone, by His empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.